Jim Elliott and four other missionaries, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udarian, were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about the treasures of memory. There are some dangers, too, the treasures and dangers of memory. Yesterday, I read you a long passage from the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy in which Moses is reviewing for the children of Israel all the way that the Lord has led them, reminding them of God's faithfulness and exhorting them to be very careful that they not forget the Lord their God, failing to observe His commands and His laws and His decrees. We are commanded to remember all the way that the Lord our God has led us. Quite often I get letters from people who have unfulfilled desires, and they ask me, don't you believe that because God has not taken away this desire, this means that God is going to fulfill it just the way I want it to be fulfilled? Sometimes it's the hope of getting married. And because they have not lost this hunger, even though they've prayed about it and tried to commit it to the Lord, they feel absolutely sure that God has a husband or a wife for them. Maybe He has. But on the other hand, it may very well be that this truth, which is brought out in Deuteronomy 8, is for them. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you and caused you to hunger and then fed you with manna. Now, you know what the children of Israel wanted was not manna. They wanted leeks and onions and garlic and watermelons and fish, such as they'd had back in Egypt. But the Lord purposely made them hungry. In Deuteronomy 32, a different chapter, we read these words, remember the days of old, consider the generations long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you. Now, there's a good idea, isn't it? Some of you children who may be listening to me today may have enjoyed, as I did as a little girl, stories that your father and mother can tell you about when they were a little boy and a little girl. My mother was a great storyteller, and she used to make up cute stories about a little monkey named Jocko. Unfortunately, we never wrote any of those stories down. But my favorite stories were about when I was a little girl. So ask your father, and you older listeners, you who are in middle age, remember, your father and mother may not be around for many more years. You might learn a great deal by asking them the ways of God in their lives. The Bible says all His ways are just. A faithful God does no wrong. Upright and just is He. I can tell you one thing that'll blow your mind. There were no plastics when I was a little girl. I can look back and remember the time when we had no plastic bags, no plastic cups, no plastic spoons, absolutely nothing of plastic, because it hadn't been invented in those days. It was a different world. Remember God's works, His mercies. What have you seen in your life that was a true mercy? And you could even understand it as a mercy. I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to see that everything God ever did to us was for us, and it was from His mercy. But we can't always see it that way while we're down in the midst of it. Remember His word to you. Do you have a favorite verse, one that is connected with some event in your life in which the Lord spoke to you loudly and clearly? Remember that. Share that memory with someone else. It's a treasure. Remember his gifts. So many things in our lives are gifts, aren't they? I look at my life and I know that everything is a gift. But there are special gifts that we're very grateful for, especially grateful for. His covenant, his promises to you, has he ever broken one? Remember answers to prayer, the ones to which God said no, as well as the ones to which he said yes. These are the treasures of memory. Saint Teresa said, "Do not punish me, I beseech thee, by granting that which I wish or ask, if it offend thy love. Do not punish me, I beseech thee, by granting me that which I wish or ask, if it offend thy love." That's an interesting and very important aspect of the question of prayer, isn't it? Because when we come to God, we come in prayer, and we come as a child to a father, knowing very well that a good father often has to say no to his child. If he gives the child everything the child wants, he's probably a very foolish father, and our Heavenly Father is a wise as well as a loving father. So this great saint from old times says to the Lord, "Please do not punish me by granting that which I wish or ask, if it offends thy love." The Bible says that God remembered Noah. God remembered Abraham. God remembered Rachel. He remembered Joseph and Hannah. He remembered his covenant, his holy promises. And in the Psalms it says, he remembers that we are dust. I am so glad God doesn't forget that one. I am dust. It's from dust that we came. You remember that God made the first man out of the dust of the earth, and he made the first woman out of that man. So we all come originally from dust. And unto dust shalt thou return, says the Bible. We know that when a body is buried, it doesn't take very long for what was buried there to turn into dust. But God remembers us. God loves us. And of course, we have a soul that doesn't turn to dust. Now, there are dangers in remembering. Let's think a little bit about the dangers of memory. There's a temptation to relive the past in such a way that we become callous to the present. And that is a dangerous thing, and it's a very destructive thing. How many of us know what it is to cry bitter tears each time we think about something that has gone? And we say to ourselves, never again. Perhaps somebody has died. Perhaps you've lost something. Perhaps you've had to move from the beloved home in which you lived. Perhaps your job has just dissipated, turned into nothing but mist, all of a sudden, just dried up. Do you cry bitter tears each time you think back over what you did have and what you don't have anymore, and say to yourself, never again, poor little me, I'm just never going to have that joy or that pleasure or that person or that home or that job again? Well, there's a good passage on that one, too, and it's Numbers 11. It says that the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. The fire from the Lord then burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them. That word Taberah means burning. The rabble with them, these strangers that had mixed in with the people of Israel, then began to crave other food. And again the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. we never see anything but this manna. Does that remind you of a complaint that you've made? Maybe not quite literally against God, but are there some children listening to me who perhaps have said, "Mom, is this all we ever get for breakfast? This oatmeal? This toast? Why can't we have some of those fancy, expensive cold cereals that we see in the supermarket?" Well, if your mother feeds you oatmeal, she is a wise mother, because it's a whole lot cheaper than those fancy, expensive cold cereals that you see. But complaining is a serious business. It says that the anger of the Lord was aroused. And you adults, ever been sorry for yourself? Ever said, "We never get anything but this"? Well, this attitude can lead to our dwelling also on the future. Ignoring our duties, earth and life become hateful to us. We start feeling sorry for ourselves and demanding sympathy. A writer whose book I just read says, "We're incredibly adept at going from one wrong attitude to another, even though the new attitude seems opposite, it's just as wrong. All errors are first cousins." That's the end of the quote. Now I'd like to ask, what do you do with the treasures of memory? Do you cry over their loss? Or do you lift up your heart in gratitude? Think of the privileges you've had. As you may know, I have been a widow twice. And widowhood certainly is a strong, very strong, almost irresistible temptation to dwell on the loss rather than on the gift of having had that husband. A friend of mine who had known Jim Elliot in college wrote to me when he died to remind me that there were much worse ways of losing a husband than through death. And then she recounted the sad story of how she had been divorced. I think of the gift that God gave me of marriage, the gift of motherhood, the gift of widowhood, which seems very strange perhaps, but I do see it as a gift that God gave me twice, and now He has given me a third husband. The treasures and dangers of memory. Memory can drain or strengthen you for God's next task. And the danger is that you may feel sorry for yourself as you weep over the things which are gone.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.